To everyone, good morning. Welcome from the south. Okay, so we'll dedicate the shiur this morning to Feige Fishman's mother, who died yesterday. Levi's later today, Rebbe Simchai Esther Bas Yitzchak Isaac Halevi. She just turned 100 a few months ago, and such a long and very productive life. So, we'll look today at Tehillim Kuf, 100, nice round number, and we'll finish our schedule for this year with that. Probably here's a hit right back is a Tanakh. Take a look at it. This, of course, is a well-known kapitel to us because we say it every morning. Mizmor l'soda hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz. A song of thanksgiving. Cry out or sing out to God, all the earth. Or as we say in English, the whole earth should call out to Hashem. So this Mizmor, the Malbim says, and my great-grandfather writes as well, is Hodah Shel Nes. It's the thanksgiving that comes for a person who's experienced a miracle in his life. Not necessarily a miracle that involved a deviation from nature, but maybe better said, Nathia really refers to Hashgacha, that God intervenes in a way which is unusual, it's not expected, and therefore a person feels an extra measure of thanksgiving to Hashem. So the Gemara says in Brachos, Daf Nun Dalet, and the Shulchan Aruch, Reishir, Tess, and Arachayim, Arba'ot Tzrichim L'Hodos, the four categories of people who have to give thanks to Hashem. And this famously is the source for the Birchas HaGomel that people want to make in Shul. The Birchas HaGomel really parallels those who brought a Karban Todah from the Beis HaMikdash. Well, I always wonder if we're actually bringing a karbon today instead of saying a bracha, people would be as promiscuous with saying brachas agomel, because it would cost more money. Brachas are cheap. But four types of people who have to say this, say brachas oda, but this, bring a karbon, basoda. It's the four who escape from situations that are inherently dangerous. Yorde hayom, people traversing the seas. Hochei Medbarios, people traversing the wilderness. Cholov in Israfe, person who's ill, he's in bedridden for a few days, and then recovers. And Cholos Pervesa Asarim Yatsa, a person who's incarcerated, and then that person is liberated. And the Shulchan Aruch mentions the acrostic for this is V'chol HaChayim Yaduch HaSala, a pasuk familiar to us from the end of Shemon Esrei in the Berchas Odah, V'chol HaChayim Yaduch HaSala V'alul Shemcha Be'emes. So Chayim is Chavush, the one incarcerated. Yisurim, the person who's ill. Yam, crossing the sea. And Midbar, Chayim. V'chol HaChayim Yaduch HaSala V'alul Shemcha Be'emes. So again, today we say Birchas HaGomel. In the past, when the Beis HaMikdash existed, we brought the Karban Todah for that. So the Todah is elaborated upon in Parshas Tzav in Vayikra. It's one of the two types of shlomim that we have. So with the Karban that's brought, the person also brings... Yeah, it's a good idea. For those listening to the CD will wonder why there was so much banging going on here. They think we moved this year to a carpentry shop today. So a person brings a carbon. With the carbon, he also brings matzos mixed with oil, as well as lechem chametz, bread that's chametz. The Torah emphasizes that. So the Rav Hirsch mentions in his commentary in Chumash that shlomim are brought, literally means peace offerings, but it's for a person who feels a sense of shlemus, shalem, a completeness in life, a wholeness, that he's lacking nothing. That is to say, a person who is saved from some potential harm is grateful, because when the harm still loomed, nothing else really mattered in the world. When a person is sick, a person is in a dangerous situation, crossing the seas, a person's in prison, so the whole world, his whole world is focused on his own needs. So now that he is liberated from that state, he feels a sense of shleimus, and so brings this karbon. But it's interesting that the karbon is combined with both chametz and matzah. What kind of combination is that? Another context gets you Kares, right, on Pesach. So matzah, of course, is always our dependence on God. We show that we are dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything, so that's also an offering of thanksgiving. But chametz is really the bread of independence. We're allowed to rise. So we're saying that both in a person's dependent state, and especially when he feels a sense of independence, we have to be conscious of the Yad Hashem. And conscious of the Yad Hashem inevitably leads a person to bring this karban todah. Well, again, we're doing Perek Kuf in Tehillim. Mizmor Lasoda. Now, there's another interesting area in the karban todah, as you have in other karbanos as well, the din of Nosar and Pigul. Pigul means you can't offer it with the intention of eating it chutz l'zmano, but aside from that, you can't even allow it to linger. All right, there's a time frame. Shlomim are consumed by the offeror, meaning the person who brings it, but you're limited in time to 2 days and a night. So therefore, you can't let it remain beyond that. That is to say, an offering that comes of gratitude, the best offering of gratitude, has to be done in the moment. Because that's when a person feels the greatest expression of todah, of thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Even Brachas HaGomer has to be said within a certain time frame. 3 days, no more than a week, but usually it's within 3 days by the time next Kriyas HaTorah comes around. So therefore, that's why we don't read this parak in the davening a few times a year. Pesach we don't read because of chametz. Chametz attached to it. But even Erev Pesach we don't, since you couldn't eat it the next day. Also Pesach. And also on Erev Yom Kippur we don't say it, because you can't eat it on Yom Kippur, so we don't say it at all, this Mizmor Lasoda. I always joke that the Yekis should inform their spouses they'll be home 6 seconds earlier that day because there's no Mizmor Lasoda. But nonetheless, here you have a very concise, very beautiful tehillah of gratitude. Mizmor Lasoda. There's nothing more important than gratitude, than appreciation for what we had, and almost an indifference to what we don't have. Who suffered from the opposite? Of course, Korach. You read Parshas Korach this week. So he was Niskani, but Moshe Rabbeinu, he was jealous of Moshe. Whatever he had, and he had a certain greatness, Korach, being a member of the tribe of Levi. Nonetheless, it mattered not a whit to him, because he was envious of Moshe's position. To be envious can never coexist with being gracious. It just can't. It's almost conflicting emotions. And envy destroys a person, because it forces us to look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. And what we don't have always exceeds what we do have. And if a person measures himself or herself in life by what we don't have, it's simply disastrous. Can't live a happy life, and it's a life that always leaves one at odds with others. Now, I think every generation struggles with the idea of transmitting to our children and grandchildren the notion of gratitude. It's true? I think every generation is like that. Every generation feels that the youngsters have no sense of gratitude. Because I remember back when I was a child, it was the exact same thing. But today it's true. But why is it even more true today? Because of the entitlement generation that we're raising. That the expectations that exist amongst the young are so inflated that it becomes something that they are not gifted or awarded, but rather deserve. You know, they deserve yeshiva, they deserve camp, they deserve clothing, they deserve to go to Israel several times, they deserve to be given the latest gadgets that are produced as soon as they're produced. And not to have them, any of them, produces a sense of loss, of deficiency, that leaves them almost bewildered and uncomfortable among their peers. That's a big problem. When you have too much, it's very easy to lose our sense of thanksgiving. The Jew is always bounded by a world of thanksgiving, and our lives, our days, our thoughts are always grounded in the notion of gratitude. We begin our day, Modani Lefanecha. The very first words a person is supposed to say upon arising in the morning, just to give thanks that we're here. Give thanks that we're here. I mean, that's the ultimate thanks. But again, we take it for granted. And the day is punctuated three times. I mentioned earlier the Birkas Hodah, which is the penultimate bracha on the Shmon Esrei. The Chol Achai begins, Modim Anachnu Loch. We give thanks to an end. V'chol Achai Meducha Selo. Fellowship Chobe Ames. Chol Kel Yishua Seinu Vezraseinu Selo. Baruch Ata Hashem. Hatov Shemcha. Ulcha Noela Hodos. Not only our obligation, but it's l'chon no'ele hodos. It is in fact very pleasant. It's a beautiful thing. Not for what it does for God. It does nothing for God. It's for what it does for us. That's what Rav Hirsch quotes here, the famous statement of Chazal, that kol atfilos v'telos lasid lovo v'hodo eino v'telo. That all prayers will be abolished in the Yemos HaMashiach, but not hodo. Not a prayer of thanksgiving. To abolish a prayer of thanksgiving would remove from us an indispensable dimension of human existence. Kol karbanos b'telos lasid lavo, all offerings will be nullified, abolished in the Messianic era. The karban toda eino batel, except for the karban toda. The karban toda, this offering, cannot be abolished, because if it was abolished, then human beings would begin to look at the world in a completely different and inappropriate way. Here's the question. So we said Mizmor Lesoda is a song of thanksgiving, but La doesn't only mean of. Man, it even means of. It means to. What does it mean, a song to thanksgiving? So Toda means two things. They're related, but they all, it sounds on the surface like almost two different definitions. One is thanks, and what's the other one? Roshon Vidui, admission, confession. A person who confesses to God is Modeh Lashem. That's the same word. The same word for thanksgiving is to confess. I would imagine one of the linkages is that a person who confesses a sin thereby is expressing thanks to Hashem for not ending his life, having sullied his soul. But it means more than that as well. The Yalkut quotes here that when the nations of the world, when a person is charged with something, so he is battered, abused, in order to extract the confession. Today we call it enhanced interrogation, which is permissible, thank God. But once he confesses what happens to him, then he's punished. Alright, so he gets a confession, then he's punished also. But Klal Yisrael is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Enokein, Ela Ad Shelo Hoda Hu Nosein Parkilo. Until a person confesses, then we're subject to punishments. But Misha Hoda Notel Bimus. Once we do confess, that's tshuva. Tshuva means sincere tshuva. We're going to be forgiven. Our sins are erased. Hu Modeh Ve'ozev Yirucham. The person who confesses and abandons the sin, that person finds divine compassion. Kevan Shera Moshe came, and Moshe saw this is our system. Hischil Shorer Aleihem Mizmor. He began singing the song Shenemar Mizmor Lisoda. Mizmor Lisoda. Mizmor to the institution of confession, of admission, of return to Hashem. And indeed, this Mizmor, Kuf, is the last of the ten Mizmorim that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote that are part of Sefer Tehillim. Mizmor Lisoda. Hariu Hashem Kol Haaretz. Sing out to God, cry out to God, or just the Hirsch's, awaken the homage of the Lord, everyone on earth. Everyone on earth? What does it mean, everyone on earth? Because we think of either thanksgiving or confessionals as the act of an individual. What does it mean, Kol Haaretz, everyone? So Rav Aviner here at the Perush on Tefillah, from which I extract these ideas, says indeed, because man is not just an individual. Man, the individual, in fact, individual person influences his surroundings, and for sure the surroundings influence everyone else. So if you have a person who is involved in thanksgiving to God, is involved in singing to God, then others will do the same thing. The impact of society on everyone, old and young, male and female, is inestimable. The fact is, we are refined or coarsened by the society around us. We are made grateful or more ingrateful by what we see around us. So if you have a person who has a generous spirit, a kind manner, a soft way of speaking, a person who, for whom Shem Shamayim is Shogru B'Fiv, who's always speaking about God, always giving thanks to God, it has to have an impact on others around him. It has to. And no doubt, if a person is not like that, but others around him are, in the end, he'll become more refined as well. So one todah, one act of thanksgiving, one expression of thanks, isn't really infectious until Hariyu Kol Haaretz, Hariyu Hashem Kol Haaretz, until it arouses the entire earth. It's true, of course, in families also, if you have one child who's well-behaved, who's polite and mannered, so that will influence others, especially if they see the reaction of the parent. While someone says please and thank you, however rare it is under the age of 10, however rare it is, if a child who does that, there's no doubt that sets the course of the home, and therefore that's the response. Yes.
My father always used to say, do a good job with the oldest child and the other.
That's right, the others will follow the oldest child. That's correct, leader of the pack. Yeah, which one's that? Right.
Suffering. So does that mean, is there a purpose for the Beit HaMikdash after
this? Sure, there's a perfect Beit HaMikdash. Good place to carve
and
tell them. Right. Doesn't mean right away, by the way. Lots of love could also mean towards the end of the Imas HaMashiach, after we're perfected.
Does the Beit HaMikdash have to come first?
Then?
Does Beit HaMikdash have to come first before?
Before Mashiach?
Yeah.
I have not yet been privy to that schedule. I've tried to consult the builders, but they're not answering my questions. From the Rambam's perspective, Mashiach comes and builds the Beis HaMikdash. All right?
That's what I was thinking, but I'm thinking if there's not going to be a Korban, I would think maybe...
Right. But again, Yom HaSeh Mashiach is an era, so not everything that takes place in the era necessarily takes place at the beginning of the era. According to Rambam, at least, Mashiach has to be verified by the Sanhedrin. And one of the ways of verification is that he builds the Beis HaMikdash that comes afterwards. But others say simply the Sanhedrin can build the Beis HaMikdash. If the Sanhedrin builds the Beis HaMikdash, then you don't need Mashiach for it. So that we have to wait and see.
I'm worried about the
Why?
Because I'm a vegetarian.
Ah, okay. Well, we have mechanisms that most, not all, but most of the Korbanos can be replaced by meal offerings. Okay, menachos, flour and oil. Okay, but I'll have your portion. Don't worry. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, bo lefano b'rnana, by the song of the same name. Serve God b'simcha, with joy. Bo lefano b'rnana, come before Him with song. The Radak says here, really the simple pshat, but a beautiful pshat. Your service of God should not be a burden, a heavy weight, a yoke that a person has to get off his back so he could really live his life. It's with joy and with a good heart. Now that, of course, is, I think, one of the most critical aspects of parenting, conveying to a child the notion of Avodas Hashem b'simcha. It's not easy to do because we all regulate it by hundreds and hundreds of different halachos that for many children, especially young, they see as constricting their pursuit of pleasure and happiness. That becomes really the very key aspect of parenting, to let the joy of the mitzvos infuse their lives, and at the same time, letting them understand the role that halacha plays, that not every desire can be fulfilled. One of the toughest aspects of that is letting a child know that the fulfillment of every desire is not necessarily what brings happiness, and very often limits or reduces the happiness of a person. But sometimes not having desires fulfilled is the key to happiness. We say this in the Birkas HaChodesh, I will say it this week. V'yimalei Hashem kol mishal oseinu, mishal slibeinu, l'tova. Amen, Zela. It's not just Mishal Slibeinu, but it's Mishal Slibeinu L'tova. It's for good. Not everything our heart seeks is necessarily for good. And sometimes we have our own judgment that halts us in time, and other times HaKadosh Baruch Hu in his wisdom says, no, this request of your heart is not L'tova, and therefore you won't get it. The Malbim explains here that when we serve a king, a basar adam, a flesh and blood, then the schar is not inherently connected to the service, nor does it necessarily come right away. And it may or may not be commensurate with the deed. You work and you get paid. You get paid what you think you're worth. Very few people think that. Is it always coming? Not necessarily. Even in the service of the king, it's not always as rewarding as one might think. Avodas Hashem, he says, Lo chein avodas Hashem, shehi atzma hasachar. The service of God is the reward itself, but tachlis avoda zu, and it's the whole purpose, the whole objective of this avoda as well. The purpose should be to effect simcha. To effect simcha, to bring about simcha in the individual. What about the other pasuk, if you recall, it's in Perek Beis, Ivdus Hashem, the Yira. Alright, serve God with reverence, with awe. How do you balance Ivdus Hashem, the Yira, and Ivdus Hashem, the Simcha? You notice we sing Ivdus Hashem, the Simcha. We never sing Ivdus Hashem, the Yira. Might be a better song. The truth is, the Yalkut says here that Simcha and Yira are really combined. The Simcha is not frivolity. Simcha is joy. Simcha is really an inner joy. A person can have an inner joy, a proper form of inner joy, only if it's tempered and moderated by yira, by reverence of God. To be in an atmosphere of holiness, like the mikdash, like a shul, for example, and not have simcha tempered by yira, that simcha will almost always eventuate in leitzonos, in levity and clownishness, and not really be involved in simcha shel mitzvah as well. And in fact, that's when the Seder this week also, Aaron and his heirs are charged with the shamrus mishmeres hamikdash. They're the ones who should guard the sanctuary against all comers and opponents and ideologues of various stripes. People look at the mikdash for their own needs, like Kostik, for example. So you need to have that cadre of people who are just faithful to the notion of mikdash, who preserve it, are able to merge those two functions, which seem almost contradictory, of simcha and yira. They're not contradictory. On the contrary, they really merge together. They coalesce into forming the person who has the true simcha. So Harav writes here that simcha, that what means in simcha and renana, bo lefana bernana, simcha is something that's internal. Right? Simcha is internal. Renana, song, is external joy. You have internal joy. The inner joy produces the external, the outer expression of joy. It has to come from the inside. Can the converse be true? Can a person who has no inner joy then come before God, birnono, and experience joy? You would think, no, because the idea clearly is to ilusion b'simcha, bo'el fon birnono, you feel the simcha, you let the song. But Harav writes here, very interestingly, we're human beings. Correct. The ideal is not like that. But he said, we're human beings. And human beings sometimes need that as well. In fact, the person who's despondent, sings. And if you sing Shirei Kodesh, you'll have a different state. And we know music has that capacity to elevate the soul, which is despondent for some reason, into a much better state. You see, that's how David HaMelech got his start, in the palace of Shaul HaMelech. When Shaul felt depressed, David was a minagein. He played the harp. So in fact, if we come before God birnanah, even if we're not in a state of simcha, and we appreciate birnanah, then we'll come to simcha as well. So it does work both ways, even though ideal is min ha-panim el ha-chutz, that our internal joy should be expressed outside. I do grant you that the opposite is possible as well, that if a person just feigns external joy through song, it will never penetrate. It might never penetrate and become inner joy, and then it becomes really leitzonos and not simcha as well, not even nonah. You find sometimes that people feel that there's certain situations in which they have to sing and they have to dance and they have to drink, and it becomes very artificial. And that's not an outer manifestation of joy that's necessarily going to permeate the interior. So be wary of that, but know that the ideal is really min ha-panim el ha-chutz, but that you could have occasions as well that a person seeks to overcome an internal state of despondency through a bowl of fun of birnanah, but look at it as real and not artificial. And Rav Hirsch has a very beautiful insight here. He says, Iblis Hashem b'simcha, it doesn't work. See, we think of it as what? Avodas Hashem? Tefillah, going for shul, davening, etc. He said, nothing personal, it's regrettable, I quote, that the concept of divine service is understood to consist primarily of the ritual of prayer and sacrifice in the temple and synagogues. He said, that's not Avodas Hashem. That's part of Avodas Hashem. Where's real Avodas Hashem? Daily life. A person's daily life. Because we're involved in Avodas Hashem not just when we're holding a siddur in our hands. We're involved in Avodas Hashem when we're learning Torah, when we're doing chesed, when we're raising our children, when we're being honest in business. All those activities are part and parcel of what constitutes Avodas Hashem. So to serve God means that a person uses all of his energy in service of Hashem, and therefore that's what makes a person an Eved Hashem. An Eved Hashem is not a person who davens and chuckles the whole day. An Eved Hashem is a person who's mindful of God in every aspect of life, whatever he or she is doing throughout the day. That's Bechol Masecha, Hilashem Shamayim, and that really is Ivdu Hashem B'Simcha. Well, how then do we find this joy? The pasuk continues, Ve'u ki Hashem hu Elokim. You should know that God is the Lord. Hu asanu, He made us. V'lo anachnu, and not us. You'll note that V'lo has a green ksiv. It's written V'lo with an aleph, meaning no, but it's red. Sounds the same, of course. V'lo anachnu, with a vav, that we are His. Hu asanu, He made us. V'lo anachnu, we are His. We'll discuss the difference in a moment. Amo, we're His people, Vitzon Mar Iso, and His flock, the flock of the sheep of His pasture. Rashi says here, Ivda Shem B'Simcha, the Kol Kach Loma, how then do we do it? De'u Ki Hashem Elokim. It's the knowledge of God's existence, Shemeshalem Schar Pulaschem, that He gives us reward for our efforts, meaning no good deed is ignored. Doesn't mean you get a candy bar for it. What it does mean is that every good deed builds the person, improves the person, and betters the world around him. That's harpul aschem. Aval ovde kochav mazalos ein lehem lavod b'simcha. Shem esham lehem schar. The nations of the world, so they can't serve God with joy, right? Because they have no sense of schar involved in really self-worship that's projected onto other areas. In fact, that's why you see it's a big difference. You know, the Bali Musa used to say, imagine there was a holiday like Purim in the nations of the world. Well, in fact, there is, St. Patrick's Day. You see the difference between St. Patrick's Day and Purim. Purim is bad enough because people abuse it as well. But the notion that you have, more people, but second parade, you just have a day dedicated to drinking. Purim is not a day dedicated to drinking. it's at its best, it's an aspect of Seudas Purim. But Purim is a day of mitzvah, it's a Mikra Megillah, and Matanos Avionim, and Mishloach Manos. It's a day of involvement in community. And with others, a day of Chesed and Torah, that's the essence of the day. But art, it has been distorted in a certain way. What's the joy? If we know that God is God, then that itself is the joy. When we recognize that Hashem Hu Elokim, so suddenly problems seem more surmountable, and the inner security that we have is regained, whatever problems exist, because Zehu Hashem Hu Elokim means that one surrenders to the Ratzon Hashem. And this we discussed last week and a few times this year already. Surrender to God's will does not mean we don't involve ourselves in trying to better ourselves, but it does mean the recognition that Eino Nuvado, whatever happens really is the Ratzon Hashem, and that itself is comforting. The Malbim describes this knowledge here, De'u ki Hashem hu Elokim, Ratzolomar, Hum makor kol hakochos kulam mispashtim b'mitzius. God is the source of all the forces that are extant in reality. V'hu hamanhigus kulam, and He is the one who governs all of them. God is the source of all power. If He's the source of all power, then all we have to do is play our role and use the tools that He gave us. And then we recognize we'll live a life of simcha and renana. What does it mean, Hashem Hu Elokim? To us, it's almost a redundancy. God is God, God is God. We say this, Eliyahu HaNavi said this at Har HaKarmel. In the Haftarah for Parshas Kisisa, we don't say most years, although we did this year, that was the cry, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. We mention this every night in Meir, Baruch Shem Olam, Amen, Amen. But of course, most famously, we say at the end of Ne'ilah, end of Yom Kippurim, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Elokim. So what does it mean? So of course, every name of God has a specific reference to it, but Rav Avinir explains in a very simple, concise, and meaningful way, Kedarko Bakodesh. Hashem, so to speak, is a given name. It's the way we relate to Him. Elokim is His job description. All right? He gives an example here. Tuvia Cholev. Tuvia, the milkman. So Tuvia is His name, and Cholev is what He does. That's His mikzah, His profession. Hashem is God. Hashem to us is an ineffable name. His essence is indescribable, and to an extent unknowable as well. But not His deeds. What are His deeds? His deeds are Elokim. Elokim is the God who created the world, Bereshis Bara Elokim, and Elokim is the source, like the Malbim says, Mekor Kol HaKochos. When we relate to God as the source of nature, we relate to Him in the first instance as Elokim, and not Hashem. That's what it means, Hashem Elokim. Hashem is distant. Hashem is remote. But that Hashem is also Elokim. He's a God who's very near to us, who's involved in this world, who created and sustains this world, and still guides this world as well. So this God, Hu Asanu, He made us v'lo anachnu, and not us. So Rashi says, lo anachnu, the simple pshat, the ksiv, lo with an aleph, meaning no, Hu Asanu v'lo anachnu, we're not self-made. We didn't create ourselves. Something came before us. Something came before the very first us there was. Before the very first human being. So we should never think, never delude ourselves into thinking that everything depends on us. It's who asanu v'lo anachnu. But the prerequisite to understanding how we relate to God is the Kree. Hu asanu v'lo with a rav anachnu. He made us, and therefore we are His. Our value exists in being His. How are we His? We're Amo, His people. His people in Toda. We're part of a nation, the Am Hashem. But also Tzon Mariso, we're the sheep of His pasture. What's unique about a sheep? The sheep out of flock. About a shepherd. The shepherd cares for every one of the sheep. So we should never think that God looks at Klal Yisrael as a conglomerate. We're an entity, period. Just one group, one nation, one people. We're more than that. Indeed, we're an Am. We are a people. But we're also its own. and the roa, Tzon Mariso, the roa looks after each individual sheep, doesn't say, I have 500, if I lose one, what's the difference? No. Tzon Mariso. Bo sharo bisodo, chatzeroso bishilo. So enter his gates with thanksgiving, and chatzeroso, his courtyards, with praise. We enter the gates with thanksgiving, but the courtyards with praise follow progression. To get into the courtyard, you have to go through the gates. What's the entrance? The entrance is todo. The entrance is always thanksgiving. Tehillah is a greater expression than hodah, thanks. But the entrance to the Chatzos Hashem is always todo. Tehillah, hallel, is really unprompted. It's unprovoked. It's natural for being to exist in the presence of God. So tehillah should be the natural state, to be in a state of praising God. But the entrance to that place, those courtyards, is always todo. Todo, tehillah, hodulo, baruch shmo. That's the progression. If we can't give thanks to God, then we're not going to be able to bless his name, meaning his essence or his deeds, because we'll have no relationship to him. The first mechanism to which we relate to God as human beings is really hodah, thanksgiving. Brachos are part of that. Hodu la baruch shmo. A child always learns that first, or should. How do we relate to God first? God's the source of all good. You have to thank Hashem. Baruch Hashem, todah lakel, whatever expressions we use, but to internalize the notion of thanksgiving is indispensable. Baruchu without hodu is really an empty tefillah. Just to bless God without feeling a sense of gratitude to God becomes just empty words. Ki tov Hashem le'olam chasdo ve'ador v'ador emunasov. Because God is good, le'olam chasdo, his kindness is eternal, forever, ve'ador v'ador emunasov. And from generation to generation is his faithfulness. So Hirsch said, this really is our message to the world. What message do we take to the world? Ki tov Hashem. And what's interesting about it is that if the Jewish people can take that idea to the world, knowing how we have been bloodied and battered for so many millennia, then it's an idea that must take root eventually in mankind. Ki tov Hashem, this is our message. La'olam chasdo, his kindness is eternal. And his emunah, his faithfulness to us, his faithfulness through which he guides man, is in every single generation. The Malbim writes here that chasdo is different from emunah. So chasdo is ofan yisu. It's providential. It's miraculous. Hanhagah hanisiyus. It's the way he guides us, which seems extraordinary. But emunah so is his nago hakruo. It's the set way that God has ordained the heavens and the laws of nature to work. So then the question becomes, why don't we always see it? No one could seriously argue that truism. Ki tov Hashem olam chasdo v'ador v'ador munaso. So why don't we always see it? A great grandfather here quotes the Sefer Yikarim of Rav Yosef Albo. And he says that you have all these influences coming from heaven, all these tofas that come upon us, but it has one prerequisite. He also mukhan lekabel. A person has to be willing to accept it. We have to become vessels to accept God's good. V'im lo yichavein batzmo, and if he does not intend, does not perfect, prepare himself to become that vessel, so hu ba'atzmo hamonea tov mimenu. So he becomes the impediment to whatever good. He gives a simple example. If it's decreed on a person, Rosh Hashanah, that his produce should succeed, should be prosperous, that's fine, that's the decree from heaven. V'hu lo zara, but he didn't sow his field. You don't sow your field, that bracha is not coming to you. It's his own foolishness that precluded the good from coming his way. So that's a simple example. But how many ways do we have to take something that should be good and turn to something that's less good? God is giving it to us in our hands, and we're not as appreciative of it as we should. Unfortunately, there are many examples. I think life is replete with these examples. Eretz Yisrael is one, just off the top of my head. Even the way we live now, I mean, anyone with any historical sense knows that we're living in a blessed exile. Who knows how long it lasts? But the idea that Jews should be able to live in a society where they cater to our every need, they can't even penalize you if you're not working on Yom Tov, right? Much less Shabbos. Now, who would have thought historically such a society could exist and exist for such a long period of time where Jews could be prosperous and no limitations on Talmud Torah, anything. I mean, the government here supports Talmud Torah with the variety of people involved in Talmud Torah just getting welfare. Not a good thing necessarily, but who would have thought something could exist like that? That you'd have such a malchus shel chesed. But do we utilize it? Do we exploit it? I mean in a positive sense, not in a nefarious sense. To exploit it in a way to enrich our lives with ruchnius, to deepen our lives in terms of Talmud Torah and Tefillah. We have beautiful shul, new carpeting has been put in. Must that carpeting be subjected to the type of noise during davening the old carpeting was subjected to, that it finally rebelled against and said, take me out of here, I want to go elsewhere? That remains to be seen. The fact is we're given so many gifts, all that's asked of us is to make a fair catch without any impediment, just to receive it and know how to utilize it. Rabbi Neir says here that a person who's filled with gratitude sees the world as filled with brachos, and a person who's filled with ingratitude, all he sees is evil. All he sees is ra and bad things and misfortune and unhappiness. The latter exist in the world, but they're supposed to be the exceptions to the world. We have the ability, and certainly a person who is gracious by nature or forces himself just by looking at the totality of circumstances to be grateful, suddenly that person sees brachos all around him. Family, health, or parnasa, whatever it is, there's an entire list of brachos that God bestows upon us. The person who's filled with todah sees the tsaros in the world as temporary, and even as harbingers of the future good, but sees bracha and tov as the natural state of mankind if only we reach out to it. What a little kapitel this is that we say every weekday morning, all right, during the davening, and we stand up for it based on the meaning of Ebud Raham. Why are we standing up for it? Because how could you not? How could you not stand up and offer this brief ode to thanksgiving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything that we have in our world? So it's a small part of Psuka de Zimra, all right? But aside from the brachos, I have my bracha of it as well. It's the only part of Psukim that we actually stand for. To make this point, Ivdos Hashem b'simcha, feel a sense of joy. The joy arises from Du ki Hashem hu Elokim, the knowledge that God is God. Hu asanu v'lo anachnu. We don't have to be self-made. But once He made us, we're His. We're His. We can enter His gates with thanksgiving, come into His courtyards with praise, and then to pervade our lives with a sense of Kitova Shem La'olam Chazdo Vador Vador Emunaso. I want to thank everyone again who participated this year in the Shiurim, and all those who listened as well, and we look forward to even more Torah just a few months down the road. Have a very enjoyable summer.